We see the media, the villainization, what I call, of African-American males. Every movie of the week, every one-hour sitcom or one-hour drama show on the TV has a guest African-American that's going to terrorize your home and terrorize your town each week. And we have taken that type of psyche and mentality into our social planning. My fear is that America has entered the microwave age, the fast food age. We can get our oil changed in 5 minutes. If you don't get your lunch in 10 minutes, it's free. And we've kind of taken that approach in terms of our social policy. Boot camps. Three strikes legislation. Gun bans. Blue blanket. Weed and weed. You notice I didn't say seed, because in the programs here in Dane County, I sure didn't see any seed. I saw a lot of weed. Don't get me wrong now, because I'm not one of these young men that believes that there aren't some bad kids, that there aren't some situations that have been so damaged by their environment and lack of support that we have no alternative but to use our corrective in the juvenile justice system. But for a majority of young people, I would like to see us move into a different method and a different way of social planning. Politicians, the ones that I've met over the last few years, are good folks. They get into representation. They get into the roles that they are because they want to give back to their community. They want to help. But sometimes the political realities dictate that we must take quick fix approaches. I think the voters are asking for long-term solutions. I read somewhere a couple days ago that we are locking up on an average of 70,000 new people every year. We're locking up populations the size of small towns like Janesville. By the year 2000, we're going to be in a society where one half of the population locks up the other half of the population. We're going to be in a situation where none of us can enjoy the fruits of our labor. None of us can enjoy our homes. None of us can have the type of hope and desire for our children that our parents had for us, because we are going to be creating a society of predators that we have to be afraid of. My sense is the types of money that we're putting into the reactive type of programs, which we need at this stage, because quite frankly, we haven't taken care of business the last 10 to 12 years. We as a community have not taken care of business. The infrastructure of our urban centers, Milwaukee in particular, Madison, Racine, has not been an inclusive, empowering place, particularly for certain segments of our community. So therefore, they have not been able to get their piece of the American pie. Poverty, the P word, I bring it up all the time. We want to treat juvenile crime as it has no basis, that it has no origin. We must look at this as part of a large social policy and large intervention planning that we're going to do in our communities for the next 5-10 years. We have to make sure that there are opportunities both from educational, job skill development, and family support, that we can move families from being takers of services to being providers and being taxpayers and being part of our society. Prevention, early intervention works. I read somewhere also that almost a disproportionate amount of Milwaukee's youth AIDS dollars are going into the deep end services. I think that's very true across the counties and across the country. where we are not putting the money in terms of the front end. We must reach a balance here, because we cannot continue to build jails. We cannot continue to run $2 and $3 million over in corrective placements in our county alone. Poverty early intervention models, I think Dane County is on track. Our Joining Forces for Family concept, which is being put together as a collaborative model to get into our communities and take those natural team-building resources that are there. Sometimes we don't have to spend more money. We've got to find the way to use the resources that are already there and make them more proactive, make them more available to the people who need the services. Joining Forces for Families is a new model in Dane County. I would urge all of you to take a look at it and support that type of concept that brings teams of people working with neighborhoods rather than working to neighborhoods. Decentralized services. Neighborhood intervention, the program that I work for, basically is a model that works on an early intervention prevention model that takes services to children, provides those sorts of things that children are maybe not getting at home due to the P word again. There are a number of good programs that are basically starving in our communities because of our overemphasis on the deep end and the quick fix approach and the corrective approach in terms of our service delivery system. One of the final things that I would like to kind of share with you this morning is that those of us who are out in the streets every day working with these villains that the media and everyone has characterized, I want to let you in on a secret. They are children. They're just like your children. They're just like our children. They're just like any children in this country. And we cannot forget that these young people deserve a chance and deserve our support as policymakers and service providers to make them the best human beings and best Americans that they can be. Too often I get a sense that we're writing off total sections of our society, particularly African-American males. We are losing a rich resource in this community. I can't tell you each day how much talent, how much intellect, how much just human power that I see going to waste. We must find a way to support these young men, get them reinvolved in our community, or otherwise, you saw around the corner where we're building a new jail, that will be full. In the next 10 years, we'll be looking for another corner to build another one. Prevention that works with families, prevention that supports positive peer relationships, prevention that helps kids walk through the minefield of some of the neighborhoods that we've let develop in our community is sound social policy. And we must recognize, both as service providers, as funders, and legislators, that some of the things that we're going to do are going to take a long-term approach, that we're going to see the results of that in 5-10 years. I can tell you in Dane County, we're already seeing some of the benefits of it, and we would be seeing more if we would have paid closer attention to it early. Some of the families that we've already had come here from Chicago, that's the big catchphrase, are moving to the next stage. They are becoming contributors in 5 years. Their children will be contributors. Their children will be college-educated children. And that's the type of social policy that we need to look at. Each American will have an opportunity to be a contributor. I think I'll stop there, and I will be at the round table if there's any questions that you would like to answer. The final thing I would like to say today is we must reach a balance in terms of our social planning, in terms of prevention and deep-end services. Otherwise, we'll be kind of like a doggy all the time that's chasing its tail. And we'll be running around in circles. I'm going to stop there. Thank you very much.
Is there a question for Stefan? Anyone have a question? Yes.
I guess you constantly refer to the word, the P word, poverty.
Yes.
And I mean, and I guess that's a poor reference because many of the financially assisted families' income is well above what is classified poverty.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a fair number of families that live in poverty that do not have this problem. So, I mean, we have to get away from the relationship of dollars causing our societal problems. It's management, so I was a little dismayed with the reference to poverty being the...
Let me repeat the question for those of you in the back. The question relates to poverty, or the P word that the speaker introduced, and he said... many of the families that are receiving public assistance aren't really in poverty, and many families that are in poverty don't experience this problem. So you'd like to clarify that a bit? Is that fair?
Mm-hmm. That's a valid point. In terms of the clarification, in terms of the word of the P word, poverty, in terms of if you look at it as totally as a dollar value, then your assessment is correct. When I look at poverty, I'm looking at the total gamut of those social issues that are presented in the neighborhood based on economic factors. The point that you're making, not every poor person is driven to crime, not every poor person has those social ills that we're talking about in terms of some of the neighborhoods that I'm working in. But basically what I'm saying is if you live at a certain income level, your children, your family are going to be impacted by environmental issues that people with more money would not face. If you live in Somerset Circle, you might have enough money to pay your rent. You might have enough money to live a certain standard of living, which people would say you're not in poverty. But basically, in terms of your environment, you're living in a poverty situation, and that's what I'm talking about.
We have time for one more question. Yes.
I would just maybe a statement rather than a question. I, too, am concerned about the families that are living in difficult economic circumstances and how that all relates to crime. But I would really encourage you not to just focus on that, because we're experiencing a wave of, you know, tremendous problems in juveniles across the class. And by setting it up just for poverty, I think you're setting up a class warfare mentality that isn't going to serve our efforts well. What we need to do is to focus on why our kids are getting so violent. And it isn't, I mean, while the preponderance of crime may be in our inner cities, it's across the board through the suburbs and even in, you know, in the rural areas, kids are getting more violent. What are, you know, what's the cause of this, and what are we going to do? And if we just focus on that one area, we're going to miss a bigger picture.
Could all of you hear that in the back? Bob, could you hear it?
Okay. Well, I think... the lady over here raises a good point. But the point that I also I'd like to make on this is that the young people, particularly the African-American males that I'm working with, do see it as a class warfare. So therefore, you are correct. They do see the larger society as giving up on them. They do see it as that they cannot get their piece of the pie, and they're going to create their own environment in a way to get that. Now, that might make some of you uncomfortable, but that is the reality in a number of our urban areas. And if you try to sugarcoat that, you're going to miss an opportunity to do some real social planning that would get us out of that situation. On a broader perspective, these gentlemen here that are sitting next to me will talk about some of the reasons why we're seeing across the board increases in delinquency, not only from poor children, not only from black children, but children in general. And that has to do with some of the factors in terms of this disintegration of the family, some of the support systems that are missing out of our communities. I think we all know some of those issues that are going on in our community, and hopefully these gentlemen will highlight it again this morning. I think the final thing I would like to see here is this morning what I was trying to do is be a little provocative in terms of challenging you in terms of how to think about this from a different perspective. Think about this from a perspective of young people that you don't hear. I hear that anger. I see that type of aggression in our communities from a small section of our young people. And I'm trying to bring that type of message and that type of feeling to the people who need to hear it, because you guys don't come into contact with these young people as much as you should.
One more quick comment.
Yeah, I just want to make a comment. I think that the comments that were made by my colleagues in the legislature are very well taken, but I guess the speaker has made some important points that I would like to agree with. I talked to a friend of mine the other day on the phone whose oldest son just graduated from college last Sunday, and she said she's very clear about the fact that her money has saved her son. You know, she's had money for the tutors when he was failing in school back in fourth grade and couldn't read well. You know, she has a daughter. She's had the money for the abortions when her daughter, who's now a junior in college, messed up. She's had money for attorneys to bail her, to keep her kids from going into the juvenile justice system when her neighbor's kids went. You know, when they were lacking in judgment and got caught at the lake smoking pot, her kids didn't go to the boys and girls school. And so be very clear, like she told me Sunday, as she was on her way to her son's graduation, she says she's very clear that her money has bailed her kids out.
Thank you for that comment. I hope all of our speakers are this provocative. Thank you, Stephanie.